welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Prettyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Prettyman.
Hello.
And to discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast after I finished my master's dissertation on homicide in early medieval England. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Today, we are doing the next segment of Egil's Saga.
So when we last left Egil, he was returning to Iceland after running afoul again of Queen Gunnhild and King Eric. He had been previously in Norway to try and claim an inheritance he believed was rightly his wife Asgard's. That didn't go so well. So in the process, he kills Berg Oldman, several others, and Prince Ragnarf, who was Gunnhild and Eric's son. And then he headed back.
Well, and then Gunnhild curses him, doesn't she? Because he killed
yes.
him? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've got Egil going back to Iceland. When he gets there, he finds that Skallgrim has aged. He's a little older.
And Skallgrim is his father, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, so he's a little older. He's aged, a little fragile. He's not quite the berserker he used to be.
Hmm.
So, seeing that his father's kind of aged and getting on in years, Egil takes over the farm. And he's kind of running things. And one night, he's getting ready to go to a feast. And Skallgrim comes up to him and says, "Hey, you know, when are you going to give me the compensation that Athelstan sent me?" Because if you remember, Athelstan had given him not only Egil compensation for his brother Thorwulf, but he gave him compensation for Skallgrim. And apparently, Egil hasn't given that over to Skallgrim yet. So, Egil's reply to his dad, to Skallgrim, is, "You know, you didn't look like you were hurting for money, and when I see that you need some money, I'll give you what Athelstan sent." And, you know, Skallgrim's like, "Oh, apparently you think we've divided everything fairly and equitably, you know, in your mind." And he said, "I'm going to do what I see fit with my money," basically is what he tells him. So Egil tells his dad, he's like, "Well, you're going to do whatever you want, no matter what I say anyway." And I think that's kind of ironic because Egil's going to always do whatever he wants, no matter what Skallgrim says, you know. So they're both two hard-headed guys, you know.
And how old is Egil at this point, do we think?
Oh, good question. I'm thinking he might be in his 30s, maybe okay. 30s, 40s. You know, I have no idea how old Skallgrim is. I do know, like, in some circles, supposedly Egil's lived into his 90s.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, I don't know. I'm thinking about doing, like, a berserker workout diet thing. See if it works. See if I could sell that, you know. Well, anyway, so Egil rides off to the feast. So that night, Skallgrim saddles up his horse, and he rides off. But he's got a large chest and an iron cauldron under his arm. And everyone seems to think that was Skallgrim's treasure. And people claim that he buried it in the Krumskeld Marsh with a great slab of stone on top of it. So he's not that old, you know, if he's doing that. You know, he's not that weak.
Yeah.
The next morning, when Skallgrim is found sitting up in his bed, stiff and dead. So word is sent to Egil, who returns immediately. And he's got a problem, though, because Skallgrim was a really big man, and he's up sitting and he's stiff. So he has to get his guys to tear down a wall and pull in order to get Skallgrim out, right? And then...
Okay.
So they take...
Because he's a very large man then.
And he's taken to the Digranes, I don't know, Digranes, and he's laid to rest in a mound with his horse, tools, and weapons. It's unknown if any money was placed in his tomb, because he may have already buried it all. Right? So, Aegil inherits his father's land and valuables. Right? And Thordis Asgard, daughter by Thorwulf, was there with him. So, meanwhile, back in Norway, so King Harald had ruled Norway, and he also, and his son, he had two sons, Eric and Hakon. And Eric was in Norway, and he did a lot of the ruling for the dad. Hakon was in England, and he was being fostered by Athelstan. Okay?
Okay.
Now, King Harald dies, so now that puts Eric totally in charge of Norway.
But he's still in England.
No.
Okay.
Hakon's in England. He hears of his father's death, so he goes to claim, you know, his inheritance, his right to be a king in Norway. So for the next year, Eric and Hakon, they rule Norway together.
That's a choice.
Yeah. So after about a year, Eric realizes that Hakon has a much larger army and more support from the people. So he decides to go raiding, right? He's going to get out of Dodge. I think he sees the handwriting on the wall. So he leaves for the Orkney Islands and begins raiding there. And then he goes down through Scotland and into England, right? Mm-hmm. So King Athelstan gathers his army, and he rides out to face King Eric. And somehow, when they meet, an agreement is made between Athelstan and Eric that Eric would rule Northumbria on behalf of King Athelstan.
And but is Eric the one who was living in England?
Or no, was Hakon? Hakon was the one living in England. Now he's the king of Norway. And Eric's his brother, and Eric's married to Gunhild, right? And he's the king that gives Aegil so much trouble, or Aegil gives him so much trouble.
But I thought King Harald was married to Gunhild.
No, it's King Eric.
But the timeline's a little confusing here.
Okay, so what gets confusing is, so you have King Harald, who's the king of Norway, and then he has two sons.
And that are also called king?
That Eric is called a king also. That's where it gets confusing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, I think Eric was ruling probably part of Norway. So yeah, it gets confusing because I think Eric was probably like given the title of king of like part of Norway.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, and now now that his brother Hakon has come back and he's also a king and has a larger army and he's more popular, and I think Eric's like, oh, it's time to go.
I think it's interesting that Eric is willing to, is going to go rule England when he hasn't really been around there before. King Athelstan's just like, it's fine.
Well, no, he's not going to rule England. He's going to rule a portion of England, Northumbria, on behalf of Athelstan. And the thinking there, I believe, is that he's going to put Eric in charge of Northumbria, and he's going to be a buffer from the Scots that were coming down and raiding, and the Irish that were coming down through Scotland. And that he's got, you know, now I've got, you know, obviously when he went raiding, he took a lot of men with him. So now he's got kind of an additional army, kind of a buffer. between Scotland and England, there in Northumbria. So as we had kind of talked about the curse that Gunhild had put on Egil, saying that he would never find peace in Iceland, you know?
Yeah.
So Egil spent a couple summers in Iceland after Skallgrim's death, and then he became restless. The curse? Maybe. So on the third summer, Egil readied a boat and set sail. But he left late in the year and the weather was bad, and he ran into trouble around the Orkney Islands. But he didn't want to put in to the Orkney Islands because that's the last place he knew Eric was at. And he didn't want to get in a direct confrontation with Eric.
Okay.
You know, so he sailed around and he's sailing around England and the storm comes up and his boats end up washing ashore in Northumbria. So he was trying to avoid Eric and boom, he's right there.
Right. Yeah.
So he hears when he gets out that his buddy Argeborn is living in Northumbria, right?
Okay.
So he goes in the night and he goes and he finds Argeborn. And Argeborn's like, you shouldn't be here.
This is a bad decision.
This is a bad decision. Eric's outlawed you. He's going to kill you. And he's like, did anybody see you coming? And Egil's like, no one saw me. So he said, okay, you know what we're going to do? He said, you're going to go and you're going to seek reconciliation with Eric. We're going to go right now. So Archborn tells his guys to take up their arms and come with them. And they go directly to Eric's. Archborn and Eric and 10 others meet with the king. Archborn told Egil he must offer the king his head. Archborn's a pretty smart guy, we're going to find out here. Archborn addresses Eric and he tells him, hey, I have someone here who has traveled a long way to come visit you, and he wants to make reconciliation with you. It is a great honor when your enemies come to see you voluntarily from other countries, feeling that they cannot live with your wrath even in your absence. Please treat this man nobly and make fair reconciliation with him, right? For the great honor he has shown you by crossing a great many seas, treacherous paths, far from his home. He has no motivation to make this journey other than goodwill towards you, because he could well spare himself from you by staying in Iceland. So the king recognizes Egil at once and questions why he had come to see him, as he should know it would mean his death. Right? So Egil takes his foot, I guess the king's foot is a big deal, takes the king's foot in his hand and kind of tells him, you know, I want to make reconciliation.
So is that him offering his head?
Yeah, pretty much.
And
the king says, I do not need to enumerate your wrongs, and by coming here you can expect nothing but death. Then Gunhild jumps in and calls for Egil to put to death at once. He has killed your friends, kinsmen, and even your own son. Archborn said, even if Egil has spoken badly, the king, he can make recompense with words of praise that will live forever. Gunhild replied, we do not want to hear his praise. Have Egil taken outside and executed, king. I want neither to hear his words or to see him. Archborn replied, the king will not be urged to do your scornful biddings. He will not have Egil killed by night, because killing at night is murder. You know, we've talked about a lot of killing, but I guess at night is kind of where they draw the line.
Apparently that is murder.
Yeah.
Everything else is free for all.
It sounds like it. So the king replied and said, let it be as you ask. Take Egil home with you tonight and bring him back to me tomorrow. Archborn said he would do it, and he left the king to think about the following. As much as Aegle may have wronged you, consider the losses he suffered at the hands of your kinsmen. His uncle was killed on your father, King Harald's orders, on the grounds of slander by evil men. You broke the law yourself in favor of Burg Oldman, and moreover, you wanted to put him to death, and you killed his men and stole all his wealth. Then you declared him an outlaw and drove him out of the country. Aegle is not the sort of man to be provoked. So Argeborn takes Aegle home, and he encourages Aegle to compose a great poem in honor of King Eric. Aegle went off to one of the towers to work on his poem, telling Argeborn he never thought he would be praising Eric. Argeborn, you know, in true Viking fashion, sat up drinking with his men. After a while, Argeborn returns to Aegle and asks, "How's the poem coming along?" Aegle replied he had not started it, as he had sat up most of the night listening to a swallow twittering. Argeborn went to sit near the window where the swallow had been and saw a shapeshifter in the form of a bird leaving the house. So there was a shapeshifter on the property kind of distracting Aegle. Some black magic there. So Argeborn sits with Aegle the rest of the night until Aegle has finished his poem. They return to King Eric the next day. Argeborn continues to make a case for Aegle, telling the king he should consider letting Aegle keep his head or giving him a head start, as killing someone who came to seek reconciliation expected a peaceful welcome, and it would reflect poorly on the king. Gunhild, of course, argued against it. Gunhild accused Argeborn of being more loyal to Aegle than the king. To this, Argeborn replied, "If Eric is trying to make a reputation for himself, he is not going to enhance it by killing a foreign farmer's son who came of his own accord. If reputation he is seeking, I can help enhance it, because I will stand by Aegle. Everyone will have to pay a dear price by facing us both. I would expect more from the two of you to see me dead rather than grant me one man's life." So Argeborn's really throwing all in with Aegle, saying, yeah, you know, if you're going to kill Aegle, you're going to have to kill me too. The king replied, "You are staking a great deal to help Aegle. I am reluctant to cause harm to you if it should come to this, that you prefer to lose your own life rather than see him killed. But Aegle has done me plenty wrong, whatever I decide to do with him." When the king finished speaking, Aegle began his poem. It was a really long 20-stanza poem about Eric, and Aegle, I was going to read it, but it's really long. He really praises Eric, but it's got kind of a twist to it, too, where it's kind of like a backhanded praise to Eric. So when the poem was finished, the king said, "Argeborn, the poem was well delivered, and I have thought about the outcome of my dealings with Aegle. You have delivered Aegle's case so fervently that you were prepared to enter the conflict with me. For your sake, Aegle can leave here unharmed, but I never want him to cross my path or any of my son's paths ever again. I am not doing this because we have reconciled, but because you have put yourself in my hands, and I do not want to commit a base deed against you. Should me, my sons, or my kinsmen run across Aegle again and wish to seek justice, we will."
All right.
So with that, Aegle and Argeborn immediately returned to Argeborn's, where they immediately left with 100 men for King Athelstan. So King Athelstan greeted Argeborn and Aegle warmly, invited them to stay. When Argeborn left to return to Northumbria, Aegle gave him two weighted gold rings with Athelstan's mark on them. And Argeborn gave Aegle a sword, Dregnid, its slicer, which was Aegle's brother, Thorwulf, had given to him.
Ah, yes.
Skallgrim had given it to Thorwulf after he received it from Grim Hairycheeks. The son of Ketil, who was a shapeshifter berserker, who used it in duels, and Slicer was exceedingly sharp. Argeborn returned to Northumbria and oversaw Aegle's men, they got to stay, as they traded and sold what they had saved from the shipwreck. So Argeborn's really, you know, He's really a diplomat. He runs in a lot of circles. He's got a lot of people that like him. I'd kind of be interested in Argeborn's saga myself.
Yeah.
So at this time in Norway, Attila the Short was in possession of what Egil believed to be his wife's rightful inheritance due to the death of Burg Oldman. Egil and Athelstan got along well. Athelstan even asked Egil to stay and command one of his armies. This time Egil said he accepted the offer, but said first he wanted to return to Norway and claim his wife's inheritance, and then go to Iceland to collect his wife and family and return. Athelstan agreed, providing Egil with a ship and cargo of wheat and honey to trade and other goods of greater value. That same summer that Egil went to England, Eric the All-Wise had died and King Hakam had seized the inheritance. Okay? And it's not the brother. It's not the
what
other,
you mean it's
not Eric. It's not Eric and Gunhild. It's another guy.
Hakam.
No. So, let's see. Now I've got us all confused. So that's the same summer, Eric the All-Wise, who's not Eric married to Gunhild, had died, and King Hakon had seized the inheritance. So Thorstein enters the picture, and he's the son of Eric the All-Wise.
So why didn't he get the inheritance?
Well, because he's in England.
Oh, well, that's his bad.
Yeah, so upon hearing this, Thorstein goes to Argeborn and asks for his assistance in claiming his birthright. Thorstein met with King Athelstan, presenting tokens from Argeborn, and asked him to use his influence with his foster son, King Hakam, in this manner. Knowing Argeborn to be a good man, he agreed. So with this, Thorstein traveled to Norway with Egil. They landed near Vik and Thorstein's property. They sent the king's agents away and took control of the inheritance and spent the winter there, enjoying themselves due to the provisions that Athelstan had provided. In the spring, they went to see King Hakam in Trondheim. Thorstein presented his case for inheritance to Hakam with the endorsement of Athelstan. Hakam took this favorably and allowed Thorstein to become one of his landowners. So he let him, you know, with Athelstan's influence and Argeborn, Thorstein gets his inheritance. So now, Egil presents his case to Hakam, citing his wife's Asgard's right to half of the inheritance with supporting witnesses and oaths. He added he did not receive just due to King Eric's severity in. He added that, you know, King Eric was pretty severe with him, and Gunhild's incited Eric, and he didn't receive what was rightfully his. Hakam said even though he did not agree with King Eric most of the time, he would not involve himself in this manner. Egil responded saying he knew Hakam was trying to establish law in Norway, and he felt he should allow Egil under these new laws to challenge Attila the Short. He offered to enter the king's service and warned him about Eric and Gunhild's possible aspirations, saying he felt the king could be threatened by Eric and Eric's sons. The king responded saying, you're not going to enter my service, and your kinsmen have carved too deep a breach in my family for you to stay in this country. So Hakam's not a big Egil fan. You should return to Iceland. But while you're here, you'll be left in peace and win justice in your rights because I know how fond Athelstan is of you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's going to let him stay and try and seek his inheritance. Kind of. Right. So Egil and Thorstein then travel south. Egil stayed on a farm on Hot Island called Blindheim. The landowner was a young man called Frigir, who had recently received his inheritance from his father. And his mother was Gyda, Argeborn's sister. So Frida is Argeborn's nephew.
Okay.
She helped her son run the farm, and they lived in style. Egil was well received there, and a feast ensued. They stayed there many days. There's a beautiful, well-dressed girl there who was unhappy and wept most of the time. The girl was Frigid's sister, or Argeborn's niece. When Aegle asked what was wrong, she did not answer and wept all the more. As Aegle was getting ready to leave, he heard Frigid tell his mother he could not ask as they were getting ready to leave. Aegle asked Gerdr what was going on. She told him that several days ago, a man, Lot the Pale, a berserk and a dueler who was very much loath, asked for his daughter's hand in marriage and turned him down on the spot. He then challenged her brother, Frigid, to a duel, which would happen the next day. She said if Argeborn was here, he would go with Frigid. Aegle replied that it was his duty to Argeborn to accompany him to the duel.
Yeah.
So they went to the spot of the duel. Lot was a huge, huge guy, strong, and upon entering the arena, a berserker fury came over him, and he started howling and biting at his shield. Now, Frigid...
Wouldn't that be so weird just see somebody on the street doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going crazy. It's kind of like Ralphie in A Christmas Story when he loses it and he beats up that other kid. But, you know, Frigid was not like a big, strong guy. He's kind of slim, handsome, and he's not accustomed to fighting. Seeing Lot going crazy like that, Aegle said this verse. Frigid is not fit to fight a duel with a maker of Valkyrie showers. Who bites his shield rim and invokes the gods would be the man from the maiden. That awful character throws faded glances at us men. Let us go dueling places. Hearing this, Lot says, come here into the arena, big man, and fight me, if you are so eager to do. Let us test our strength. It will be a much more even fight than with Frigid, because I do not imagine my stature will grow by taking his life.
So he thinks his stature will grow by taking Eagle's life?
Yeah, I mean...
Is Aegle a big dude?
Yeah, he's a big dude. Okay. He's a really big dude.
Do you think he's bigger than Lot?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe more evenly matched.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a better fight. I mean.
Okay.
So when the duel begins, Aegle unleashed a fury of blows so that Lot could only block with a shield. I mean, he's just going at him, and the only thing he can do is put up a shield. So he's going at him, and he just continues to blow after blow with the slicer, right? Rushing Lot, so Lot had to retreat and he was unable to even take a strike at Aegle. Aegle drives him from the circle of stones. Lot asks for time to rest, which Aegle agrees to.
So if they leave the circle of stones, what does that mean?
I don't know. I think you're supposed to stay within that circle for the fight. And I think if you get driven out of it, I mean, maybe it's like break time, sound like in this case.
Right.
So
I mean, that seems fair.
Yeah. So after a little bit, Aegle said, let us finish this. And the duel began again. Aegle rushed him with speed, power, striking Lot with a blow with slicer, and it cuts his leg completely off.
Ooh.
Lot fell and died on the spot.
Well, that's a lot of blood loss all at once.
So Lot was not mourned because he had been such a troublemaker and he had no kinsmen and he was from Sweden.
So just because he's from Sweden, nobody really knows him, and they're like, eh.
Yeah. Well, and it sounded like he was kind of a nasty guy anyway, that he made his he made his money by going around killing people, challenging them to duels, and then taking their property.
Oh, okay. So he's like, I'm the biggest dude. I'll kill all the other dudes so I can have everything they own.
Right.
Okay.
And that being said, Lot had accumulated land and money, killing worthy men in duels and taking their possession. Frigid and Aegle parted in great friendship, and Aegle told Frigid to claim the land that Lot had owned. So he...
Okay, so Aegle truly doesn't want anything out of this.
No, he's doing it more because of the connection to Argeborn, you know?
Okay, yeah.
You know, because, you know, Aegle does kind of... I mean, Argeborn and him are really, really good friends, and they do... do a lot of stuff for each other. I don't want to say Egil owes Archiborn because I think their friendship probably had transcended that. You know, that they were pretty much almost brothers.
Okay.
Because if you remember, when he first went to Norway with his brother Thorwulf back way back, Archiborn was the first guy he met, and they were buddies. Oh, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So after this duel, Egil travels south with 30 men, and he goes to see Atil. He called him out and said, "I am told you've been keeping the money that belongs by right to me and my wife Asgard. You have heard it mentioned I claimed an inheritance from Bjorn and that your brother Berg Oldman withheld from me. Now I have come to collect this property, the lands, the money, and demand that you relinquish it and make it over to me at once." And Atil replied, "We've been hearing a long time that you are overbearing, Egil, and now I'm getting a taste of this. King Eric awarded this money to my brother Oldman. His word was law in this country then. I thought you would come to offer compensation for killing my brothers and plundering the property here. I can answer your case if you intend to pursue the matter, but I cannot give any answers here." So it sounds like they're going to go to another
duel,
another assembly.
Oh, okay.
"I will offer you what I offered Oldman to have the case settled according to the laws of the Gula Assembly. I have permission from the king to seek redress by law." Atil said he would meet Egil at the assembly. At the assembly, they both presented their cases. Egil lodged a claim for the money, and Atil defended himself with 12 witnesses, saying he did not have Egil's property in his possession. To this, Egil said, "I do not believe your testimony, and I do not accept your oath. What I offer a different type of justice, a duel here at the assembly, staking the money for the winner to take. What Egil proposed was law too under the ancient custom, and every man had the right to challenge another to a duel, whether to prosecute a case or defend it. Atil said he would not refuse a duel with Egil. You have killed two of my brothers, and I have grounds for taking vengeance."
So
now there's something we haven't heard yet before, but as a custom, a bull was brought out for the victor to sacrifice. Atil was a strong, courageous, and experienced dueler and skilled in the magic arts. When the duel began, they both ran at each other throwing their spears, but both of their spears missed and fell to the ground. They engage each other with their swords, exchanging blows, Atil giving no ground. They were striking each other hard and fast, and soon both their shields started to split. Atil's shield split entirely through, so he tossed it away and took his sword in both hands and began to hack away at Egil with all his might. Atil being unprotected, Egil struck him a blow on his shoulder, but his sword didn't bite. He dealt 2-3 more blows. None of them would bite, no matter how hard he struck. Egil saw this was pointless. At this point, as his shield was shredding, and he threw both his shield and his sword to the ground and rushed directly at Atil, grabbing him by his hands and using his greater strength to push him backward and onto the ground. And then Egil bites Atil through the throat.
Atil
dies on the spot.
Whoa.
Egil, in his adrenaline, Egil rushes to his feet, grabs the bull by the nostrils with one hand on a horn and the other swung the bull over on its back, breaking its back.
Whoa.
Then Egil speaks this verse. "Black slicer did not bite, deceived when I brandish it. Atil the Short kept blunting its edge with his magic. I used my strength against that sword-wielding braggart, my teeth removing that peril. Thus I vanquished the beast." So with that, Egil acquires all the lands he had fought over and claimed as his wife Asgard's inheritance from her father. Egil goes to Sognefjord to make arrangements for the property that he had won title to. He spent time with Thorstein before returning to Iceland. Egil returned to Iceland with great riches and was now a very wealthy man, and he ran his farm lavishly. Eagle was not the type to interfere in other people's affairs and did not generally act aggressively in Iceland. Nevertheless, no one dared meddle in his affairs. Eagle spent a good number of years on his farm. Eagle and Asgard had several children, daughters Thorgrild, Beryl, sons Bovdar, Gunnar, and Thorstein.
Okay, so is that where we're leaving Egil for today?
That's where we're going to leave Egil for today in Iceland. I've got some more research to do. I mean, there's it's probably like there's more to the story, I'm believing, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, but he just bit somebody through the neck until they died.
Yeah, it's
pretty hardcore.
Well, I mean, yes, he is. Well, we know Egil's a berserker, you know.
Yes, he is a berserker.
You know, biting someone through the neck is super hardcore, and then grabbing a bull and flipping it.
Yeah.
Onto its back. He's a big dude, and I'm not sure if we're gonna run into Eric and Gunnhild again. It'll be really interesting. I mean, we've got him in Iceland for several years now, but yet he said he was going to go back to Athelstan. I don't know if that happens. I mean, you know, and he always seems to get restless.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where we're going to live Egil today.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Twitter account, @MurderMedieval, our Instagram account, @MedievalMurder, or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. Also, check out our new merch available on our website, medievalmurder.org. Tune in later for our next podcast.